Okay, today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Chet. And the last thing that we learned yesterday in this amazing Masechet, which again I want to keep bringing out to you, is not a conglomeration of all types of disconnected sugyas that confuses Kachim and the Dinim of Mayed and so on and so forth, but is a very profound and literally foundational way of understanding our relationship to food. And this is because the Torah has defined the entire Mayed as an expression of our relationship to food. And for the first time, that relationship is in terms specifically of the interconnection between Kachim and Chulin, in the sense that the Korban Pesach is what it is that everything revolves around, and yet the other inyanim of Achila remain entirely chulin type of achila, which of course is matzah and more, and then the general description of the holiday as a whole in terms of chometz and matzah, the entire Shivas Yomi, the way in which we create the space entirely through our connection to food, whether it's in terms of the initial tashbitu and how we define the entire hachana of the Yom HaRishon in terms of that tashbitu, or whether the actual context of the Korban Pesach of the lotochal, alav chametz, and how that interrelates to the Shivas Yomim, so that all of what appeared to be a lot of tangential issues are actually reflections of, first of all, this interrelationship between Chulin and Kachim, which of course is an interrelationship that penetrates deeply into all of the core issues of Kachim, the way that the Torah has made it necessary for us to interconnect mincha with the actual korbonos, and those menachos themselves have to be connected to yayin, just as they are, of course, over here. And that led us to an understanding that we need to recognize that the way our behavior is defined by the mitzvah in terms of the chulin is also deeply nogea, how it is that we relate to the mitzvah in terms of every level of kachim. So we started off on what appeared to be this tangential description of the dinim of Sreifas Truma, which then led us into the question of Sreifas Kachim, which wasn't even talking about specifically the Korban Pesach. But there we went into Rebbe Chanina's Gan HaKohanim, and we utilized that as the marker for how it is that we're going to relate to Suffolk Truma, and the different levels of Tuma, then Nogea Truma and Kachim. This, after we spend now all of the time getting into, at the beginning of the second parak, all of the interrelationships across kol atayra kula of anything that is an isra achila and how that relates to the general nature of hanoah, which of course is central to chometz and the interrelationship of chometz and matzah. We then went through literally every single isra in the Torah to see how those isurim are interrelated. And then we continued on into broadening the search for connections between the various different elements. So we started talking about the interconnection of chometz and matzah and the way in which one actually defines the other. This was when we started to talk about what you could use to be yotzei matzah. And then we realized that it goes much deeper than that. It goes so deep that it even is defined by the way in which you are able to eat, so that the interrelationship of kachim and chulin would have to do with the way in which we view matzahs lechem oni, which has two different meanings, because one of it is nogea meiser sheni, of course, lo achalti bo ni mimenu. Sounds like a play on words, but we understand that certainly the getter of simcha that is part of the lemoshcha on achilas kachim and the achila of the Pesach, and which is obviously all things are usher of kachim, which we learn out from the Kal Vachomer from meiser sheni. And then that led us into examining what would be the relationship of the level of ownership, which we began yesterday, of Maaser Sheni and Challah and various things that the Torah gives us to eat but doesn't give us to own, which is fascinating because it's almost the mirror image of the way in which the Isra Hanoah follows the Isra Achila. And over here, there's nothing else you can do with it except eat it, essentially, which is what we were talking about when it comes to various elements of Kachim and Achila B'Yerushalayim, and then the limitations on who can eat. So as you can see, we are being very, very clear-cut about what we're looking for here and how it is that the Gemara is taking us from issue to issue that are each one is a more and more subtle expression of these interrelationships. So yesterday we began the discussion of what would be the din of the level of ownership of Maaser Sheni. We started with the question of Maaser Sheni, the famous Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan, about whether Maaser Sheni is considered to be Momon Gavaya. Now, this after we had already discussed another issue, which was the question of Maaser Sheni's relationship to Matzah because of Lo Achalti Ba'oni. But that was a Machlokas, whether we dash in Ba'oni or Ba'oni. So, okay, assuming that we don't have a really first-level cancellation of the ability to utilize something for lechem oni, which is usher to be lechem oni, assuming we don't have that, and we darsh in the oni different as the machlokas of Rabbi Akiva, and we understand it as honey. So then the question is, what would be the din of Maaser Sheni if we understand, as Rabbi Meir does, that even though it's given to us to eat, it's still considered to be momon govoa, and it's not personal rishos. So Rav Ashi said yesterday, look, that is enough to passel it to be yotzi your chiyav of matzah. And we don't understand what in the world the question of your ownership of it, technically speaking, is nogea, the chiyav of matzah, since it never says anywhere in the Torah matzatchem. And we came once again to a brand new understanding because of the gzeirah shovah that interrelates the lechem ha'aretz of challah, which is the level of kedusha of truma, to the idea of lechem that we find over here of lechem oni. So because of that, we say that whatever would be the din of challah would be the din of matzah. Now, this led to all types of other questions. How well does it have to be baked? What is considered to be lechem? What would be chayav in challah and what therefore would be usable for matzah? Which is, you must admit, an extraordinary kind of correlation that you never would have thought of if we hadn't gone through the Masechet and come to understand the profound interrelationship of all concepts of lechem and achila and connection to the dinim of achila that come bedafka through our experiences of Pesach. But fine, once we understood that, we also understood from that Gezeirah Shovah that if the Torah is makbid on arisotechem when it comes to challah, so then that means that the lechem in terms of chiyav challah has to be yours. But if that's the case, then it's ki'ilu the Torah wrote matzatchem, even though we never heard of such a thing. And therefore, Rav Ashi came up with the extraordinary equation that in the same way that you can't use an esrog that doesn't belong to you because it has to be lakachtem lachem, in the same way you can't use the matzah because the matzah is a function of arisotechem and challah is not a chiyev unless it's yours. This is where we were holding yesterday, and we were searching for whether we could actually find a mocker for this anywhere in a Braisa or a Mishnah, because it definitely came across a tremendous chiddush that is another deep relationship, by the way, which we haven't gotten to yet, of the other Gezeirah Shovah in the Torah of Chamishasar, interrelating the 15th day of Nisan with the 15th day of Tishrei, which are the dinim of Achila Legabe Pesach, as they apply to the dinim of achila in the sukkah, which is also another extension of the concept of achila. So today we're holding on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, and we want to see whether we could find a raya. So we got up to lema misayale, which is beyond a third of the way down. Lema misayale. So let's see if we can bring a raya to what Rav Ashi claimed yesterday, that there really is an interrelationship of the idea of the lechem, I mean, what we think it is, of the lechem, that teaches us that there needs to be, actually, as Rav Ashi said, that isa that is not your own is not good for matzah. So first, we make a mistake because we said lema misayale. The Braita brings part of what Rav Ashi said. It brings the following halacha, that Rabbi Meir said, as Rav Ashi claimed, that since Isa Shomaiser Sheni does not belong to you, because according to Rabbi Meir, it's considered to be a momon gavaya, so therefore it's petura min achala, divrei Rabbi Meir, the chachomim omrim chayeves, which of course is word for word what it is that Rav Ashi claimed the interrelationship would be of the shitas of Rabbi Meir and the chachomim vis-a-vis Maaser Sheni and chala. So the Gemara says, what is that supposed to mean? What do you mean? Lema Misaya? Let us suggest that this is a raya. This is not a raya. This is word for word what he said. I don't understand. I know how. How do you present the exact same statement as a Lema Misaya? No, says the Gemara. Come on. I mean, the main thing that what it was that Rav Asi was doing was that he was extending. It's true that that was the first level of his Chiddush, that the idea of Momon Gavoa or Momon Hedyot would actually impact the Chi of Chala. But he took that much further, and he wanted to say that this would be true even Legabe, the other implications. And that would be that when it comes even to the Esrog, it would be the same idea. You couldn't use it for an Esrog, and they say we can't use it for Matzah. So that's what we were saying. Oh, Chikama. Shall we assume that now that we have a braita that confirms that the machlokas is nogea, the din of challah, so lema minim miflegi beisa bahanach nami plegi, shall we assume that we go so far as to take it that it would even be nogea the elements of chiv of an esrog, that an esrog is also not considered to be yours simply because it is a momon gavoa, technically speaking? I mean, it is given to you to eat, and you're, I mean, that's the whole point. You're supposed to take it, and you're supposed to dafka use it in Yerushalayim, but it's yours, so wouldn't that be good enough? Or perhaps, indeed, it would be good enough. And how would I be able to technically define the difference between the question of the chiyuv of challah and the chiyuv of the esrog? I'll tell you. When it comes to the matzah, for sure it's the same because it's a gzeira shava. I can't argue with the gzeira shava. The Torah calls the lechem of the Shivas Yomim the same thing as the lechem ha'aretz. The lechem ha'oni is the lechem of exactly of chalas. There's no way to get out of that. But when it comes to the extension of the idea that momon gavoa will not be considered to be a kosher esrog, that may be wrong. Why? Because the Torah repeats the word arisotechem twice. So it could be that one mention of something in the context of Maaser Sheni, that if it isn't completely yours, that wouldn't have meant you cannot actually be Yotze if it's Maaser Sheni when it comes to Challah. I would have said if it said it once, it means that it has to be Shayach for you to be allowed to eat it. Okay, but if the Torah gave it to you, the fact that technically it's considered to be Alibad Rebbe Meir, it's considered to be something that is Momon Gavaya, that doesn't bother me. But when you repeat the second time, Arisotechem, okay, now you're telling me, all right, so what else are you going to add? So now I have to understand that unless it's fully yours, even technically speaking, that Alibad Rebbe Meir, you're not Chayv in Challah, and therefore because of the Gzeirah Shavah, you can't be Yotzei Matzah. Yes, but that doesn't apply to Esrog, because by Esrog it only says Lechem once, and something that's given to you to eat, which certainly Maaser Sheni is, whether you hold like Rebbe Meir or not. I mean, that's the fundamental definition of what to do with Maaser. So maybe that's good enough for an Esrog. That's what we were saying, Lema Misayeli. Is this a valid distinction or not? And that's why I said it that way. We don't have any comeuppance from this. By Rish Lakish, Maushi Etzei Adam Yedecho Vato Bechala Shel Maaser. He wants to use Maaser Sheni, and he's in Yerushalayim. So now, for the first time, we're adding together the two issues. We have both something which is challah, we'll see why that's important, and it's also Maaser Sheni, and he's currently in Yerushalayim. That means that currently he can eat it. So now, let me explain to you what I'm asking, says Rish Lakish. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, obviously, I'm not going to be Yotze. Because according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you can't even be Yotze with chulin. Forget about challah. If you have chulin, remember Rabbi Yossi Aglili said before that there is no way that you can use Maaser Sheni because of lechem oni. He was the one who darshaned that lechem oni means that it cannot be Maaser Sheni because Maaser Sheni cannot be baninos. Lo achalti ba'oni. So he said, that means it's not kosher matzah. So obviously, it's not going to change because I make it challah. It's not going to make it better. The question is, I'll leave it to Rabbi Akiva. So remember, Rabbi Akiva, he didn't darshan lechem oni. He darshan lechem oni, the way that it's written in the pasuk. So he says there's no problem of using Maaser Sheni. So now the question is like this. Okay, I understand normal Maaser Sheni, Aliba the Rabbanan, who holds that it's not considered to be Maman Gavoah, there's no problem of using it in Yerushalayim because it's kosher to eat in Yerushalayim, right? But what I want to know is maybe the only reason that it's okay in Yerushalayim is because of the fact that theoretically it can be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. How is that? And why is that important? I'll tell you why. Because the chiyuv of matzah is bechol moshvotechem. Bechol moshvotechem tochlu matzot. That implies an amazing din. That matzah, it's not just that the chiyuv is bechol moshvotechem. It's that the matzah is defined as bechol moshvotechem. So something that can't, excuse me, something that can be eaten, b'chol moshvotechem, that's matzah. Something that is limited in its achila, that's not kosher matzah. Wow, what an idea. So we're expanding the context in terms of the theoretical context. I understand. I'm currently in Yerushalayim. But what I'm doing is, I'm saying is, forget about what it is, where you are now, and when it is you now. I'm talking about Shivas Yomim, B'chol Moshvotechem. We already saw that there's this strange relationship that the matzah has to be roi for Shivas Yomim, which we're going to be getting more to. It also has to be B'chol Moshvotechem. So the time and the space has to be extended over the time space of the Chag. What an idea. So if I'm currently able to eat it only because I'm in Yerushalayim, is that a problem? It would be, except for the fact that, remember, time-space coordinates are always defined by possibilities, not by current situations. So maybe the reason that we would allow you to eat matzah that's Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim is because of the fact that, theoretically speaking, in the event that this Maaser Sheni would become tamei, I would be able to be paid to it even in Yerushalayim, and then I could eat it wherever I want. So therefore, these particular matzahs that I'm eating have the theoretical potential of cutting across the time-space mechitzas that are defined for Pesach, right? But how about if they're also challah? That's what I'm asking you. If they're challah, then you've got a problem, because then the theory breaks down. Because if they would become tamei, I wouldn't be able to go ahead and be paid it, because now challah tamei is the same thing as truma tamei, and now nobody's allowed to eat it. So it would just make it worse if it became tamei. It wouldn't make it better. It doesn't give me the option. So this is my question. This is such a beautiful, beautiful question. It's the question of how these time-space issues are defined in terms of the direct limitations. We know we have a limitation called Maaser Sheni. That limitation can be handled, right? If it weren't challah. That limitation can be handled because theoretically, again, and these things are defined by the possibilities, I have the possibility of eating this matzah anywhere in the world. Now, the same thing is true about challah. The problem of challah is handleable because challah can be eaten anywhere. Now you're saying, but if you put these two together, I mean, come on, that's a logistical problem. If I put the two together, the issue is merely that because in that event it happens to be that I won't be able to be paid the miser. So, okay, fine. But is miser itself a problem for being Yotze Matzah? No. Because of Moshe Avot, according to Rabbi Akiva? No. Is Challah a problem of being Yotze, according to Rabbi Akiva? No. So now you want to tell me that because of the fact that we could come up with a problem in the combination of the two, I'm going to suddenly say that there's a new concept of something that is not theoretically usable as matzah? Would we say such a thing or would we not? Is indeed the question of the Bechol Moshavot and the Din of Shivas Yomim, is that a practical matter on some level? So if it's a practical matter, fine, then I understand. I've got a practical problem. But there's also a concept that is called ho'il. Ho'il means, we've seen the use of ho'il in many places. Ho'il means that since theoretically this act would be doable under other circumstances, therefore we can ignore the specific problems that are created here. So that's my question. We could say like this. Liba Rabbi Akiva, who holds that by chulin you would be yotze, if it's by, when we say chulin, we mean as opposed to challah, you would be yotze, Maaser Sheni. The reason you would be yotze is because in the event that it would be tame, it would have a heter moshavot. But when it comes to challah, we're over there if it's also challah, and there if you would be metame, it, there would be no heter moshavot for the Maaser Sheni, because on the contrary, it would be heading right into a fireplace, the Srefa Azla. So therefore, I shouldn't say fireplace, because you can't be nene from, but you're going to be burning it. So over there, lo nafik, you won't be yotze. Odil ma'amrinan ho'il v'ilu, do we say ho'il? And here would be the way the ho'il would work. Since if I had not said that this should be chala, which is an additional problem, there would not have been any problem of moshavot, because over there, if it would have been nitma isla, had to be moshavot, and you would have been nafik ba, you would have been yotze. Hashtanami nafik. So therefore, in this event, it's merely a logistical problem. And Hoyle says the theory about this particular piece of matzah that I'm eating is that nobody asked you to call it challah. You could have taken another piece and made it challah. So therefore, we can effectively ignore that in terms of its heter. Others learned that what Reish Lakish was asking was not about the standard hoyle. One level of hoyle is always considered to be a given, that we don't consider that logistical issue to be the problem. But what Reish Lakish was asking was a much more complex hoyle. Before we get to that more complex hoyle, let me explain to you that there is a machlokas about the idea of Pidyon Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. So we know that you can't be Pidyon Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim as long as it is edible, if it becomes Tomei. So we're going according to the Shita that you could be Pidyon in Yerushalayim. But there's a general machlokas that runs as follows. When the Torah allows us to be Pidyon Maaser Sheni, as it says in the Pasuk, Lo Tuchal Se'eto, you're having a problem of being able to carry it up to Yerushalayim, you've got a few tons of produce, what you want to do is you want to be Pidyon it on silver, and then use that money to reconvert it into food by purchasing food with that money in Yerushalayim. So let's say you did that. You were put it onto money. Now you went and you bought food with it. Is the food that you bought with it the same as the original Maaser Sheni, which can be tofes a pidyon? Or is the food that you buy with the money of Maaser Sheni never the same kedusha as the original Maaser Sheni in one way? It simply does not have the ability to be what's known as tofes pidyono. It's not a strong enough direct expression of Maaser to be able to grab its kedusha onto money and be transferred. So there's no way to transfer it. That's my question. So ikini amri, havadei loti bai lacha, devadei amri nun hoil. We always say hoil about one level of a logistical question. But what I'm asking is, suppose you had matzahs, where you bought the grain with money of Maaser Sheni, and then the problem was you also made it into challah. So now, according to the Rabbanan hold, there's no difference between buying something with Maaser Sheni, same kedusha as the original Maaser Sheni. So there, obviously, that's not a problem. Since they all give it to Omer Yipadeh, they say you're allowed to be Pidyon Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, even where that Maaser Sheni is secondary Maaser Sheni, because it came through the transferred Kedusha onto money. Okay, then it's the same question that we had before, and I've already told you I got no questions about that. One oil, definitely I'm ready to say, Hainu Maaser. It's the same thing as the original case. My question only was, in this version of Reish Lakish, is what about according to Rabbi Yehuda? Now, Rabbi Yehuda says there is no way that you can do anything with produce of Maaser Sheni that was purchased with Maaser Sheni money and now became tame, and you're not allowed to eat it, Petuma. You can't be potet. So if you cannot be potet because it's not strong enough to be tofes pidyonei, then it would mean you don't have any options. Because Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, he says yikaver. There's nothing to do with it. You simply have to bury it. So there's no heter moshavot according to him. Ditznan, where do we see this? We see this gufa in the Mishnah and Maaser Sheni, where it says halaku ach bekesef ma'aser sheni shenitma yipadeh, according to the Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda Omer yikaver. You have to, there's nothing to do with it. You can't eat it, and you can't be poneh, no matter where you are. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is my question. Mi amrina, do we say a dual hoel? A, let's say if this would have been the original Ma'aser Sheni, which means that we look at the definition of the status not in the current version of the way life worked out, but in what it is that we're dealing with over here in terms of the halacha. What we're dealing with is Ma'aser Sheni. We've got a logistical problem, but we're unable to translate this level of Ma'aser Sheni onto cash. Fine, I understand. But the iser of Ma'aser Sheni, qua Ma'aser Sheni, has a heter moshavot, correct? So, okay, so then it would not be a problem for matzah. So that's one hoel. So it would have had a heter moshavot, and you would have been yotzei. So now you can also be yotzei it, even though you did happen. If you hadn't called it challah, okay, so then there wouldn't have been a problem. Or do we say, look, I mean, you can't say two things. You can't say if it would have been the original and if I also would not have called it challah, so then it would have been kosher for matzah. But I mean, in this case, I mean, how many steps can we ignore where we're so far away from the original problem that in the current context, no matter where I look, if I say, well, I mean, if it would have been real Ma'aser Sheni, I could have, no, you couldn't have, it's challah. Okay, but if it hadn't been challah, I could have, no, you couldn't have, because this is lekuach b'Ma'aser Sheni, and we're asking Aliv de Rabbi Yehuda. So that is the question. Does the idea of hoel, is it simply the fact that logistics don't matter, or does it mean that any one of the particular issues is not going to be a problem for us? But once each one of those issues, because of the other issue, now ends up being a problem no matter where you go, then you wouldn't say hoel. Omar Rava, look, I mean, it's so reasonable. I can't prove it, but it's so reasonable that basically, if you're looking at the concept, so then the concept shouldn't matter to us how many hoels there are. The point is Ma'aser Sheni has no bearing on the matzah issue, correct? And challah has no bearing on the Ma'aser issue. So what are you going to say? That because in this particular case, it's weaker? What do you mean it's weaker? It's not kadosh enough for Ma'aser Sheni to be tofes bidyonos, so therefore it suddenly is worse? Because it's less Ma'aser-like? So then it becomes a bigger problem for matzah? This makes sense to you? I don't think so. Because, I mean, that would say that the logistics is more important than what the problem would be. The problem being that there's no heter moshavot on Ma'aser Sheni, which is not true. So that means that there is no fundamental problem. Mistavra, shem ma'aser chadu. We've got one issue. Is Ma'aser Sheni usable for matzah? Just tell me. Yes? Okay, so don't give me a whole big hassle over here about the particular problem of moshavot in this case. Okay, and then we got at the end of the Mishnah to the very strange halacha in which it makes a difference why you made the matzah, for whom you made the matzah. So if you made matzah in order to use it for chalot todah or a kikei nazir, so we came up with this crazy idea. If you make them for yourself and you're going to be using them in your own carbon, so then you can't use them for matzah. If you made them to sell to the public, then you can use them. I mean, what could possibly be the basis for that? First, can you tell, before I even get to the question of why all of a sudden it's okay if I do it for the market, tell me why it's not okay. What possibly could go wrong? I mean, isn't this even better matzah? It's matzah that's mamish, meant to be part of a korban. And over here, that's a deeper. And here, take a look at how close we're getting to the interrelationship of tochlu alav matzot, or al matzot umorim yochlu, the relationship of the matzah to the korban. How does that reflect on the, don't we have a relationship of matzah to other korbanas? Is there only a relationship of matzah to a korban Pesach? No. There's a relationship of matzah to every korban teda, right? You have to make matzah to have along with your korban teda. That sounds very, very much like the korban Pesach. And after all, remember that la halacha, every korban Pesach is essentially a shlomim when it's shalom bizmano, which means that it's effectively a taita, because it's a shlomim that's got bread with it and that can only be eaten for that one day in the night. So it's basically a classic carbon taita. So then that means that the interrelationship of the matzah with the Korban Pesach seems so similar to the idea of the interrelationship of the Chalos Teda with the Teda that you'd think, gosh, I mean, that should be the height of effective matzah, right? What's the problem? Then we've got another case. We've got the case of a Nazir. A Nazir also has to bring a Korban that is specifically, that's his El Nazir, that specifically has matzah with the carbon. So isn't that like the same idea as the al matzot morim yochluhu? I mean, I understand that there's a very fundamental difference, of course, and that is that the kedusha of the lach meteda is, first of all, it's kodesh, which matzahs are not, they're chol. And secondly, the actual relationship of the matzah and the waving of the matzah and the, which are called chalos, together become kodesh with the actual din of the zevach and the dam of the zevach. Yes. So I think, okay, so it's even a deeper relationship. So that's even better, right? Somehow or other, the mission says, nope. If you made your matzah for absolutely the top heksher in the world, bezdin is matzah, bezdin in the Azora was matzah, this matzah to be used for korban teda, no, you can't use it for eating on Pesach night. Now, why in the world would that be? Minon emili. Omar Rabbah, we are now introducing a completely new idea, which, of course, we all know, and Richie knows by heart, L'shem Matzah's Mitzvah, which where did we come up with that? L'shem Matzah's Mitzvah. That's the problem. And here's where we finally discover that our awareness of what the matzah is at the actual time of the forming of the matzah is also one of the ingredients of the matzah. Now, gosh, this is the interrelationship of the achila and the chulin and the kachim and the awareness and the chametz and the shamartem as hamatzos and the idea of being careful with the chametz and recognizing that the lo yera'eh, the lo yematzeh. I mean, this is like a completely new level of experiencing Pesach. I mean, Yonim of Pesach. It's not just some kind of small issue, L'shem Matzah's Mitzvah. Therefore, says Rabbah, look, the Pasuk says, Ushmartem et ha-matzot. These matzahs that I'm defining to you, these matzahs have to be shomer for these matzahs, ha-matzot. That means matzah ha-mishtameret l'shem matzah. It needs to be that matzah which is for the achila of mitzvah, of eating matzah tonight on Pesach. That's the only matzah that you can use. Yatz tezo she'ein mishtamaret l'shem matzah, it's mishtamaret l'shem zevach. Yes, I have to be careful with these matzahs, but the point of these matzahs is that they should be matzahs that are roy to be brought with the zevach hatodah. And that's not the point of these matzahs. These matzahs are not matzahs which are themselves meant to be brought together with the korban. So ad kedei kach, the overall picture that we have of these kinds of interrelationships, let's not cheapen these relationships. Each one is unique. Rav Yosef says, there's another problem. This is absolutely brilliant. Even if you'll tell me that matzah that's mishtameret for a korban should certainly be good enough for matzah mishtameret for the Pesach, there's another issue. Because remember how we defined the idea of moshavot a minute ago. The matzah has to be kosher in all places. Well, there's another problem, says Rabbi Yosef. The matzah has to be kosher across the time, not only across the space. Because since the time, this is now for the first time, we've got this idea of the relationship of the Shivas Yomim, which was driving us crazy before, because before it said, Tochlu Alav Matzot. You can't eat matzot for Shivas Yomim on a Korban Pesach. So now we all of a sudden understand a completely new way of looking at that. The matzah that you eat with the Korban Pesach has to be the kind of matzah that you can eat for 7 days, even though you're not going to be eating it for 7 days. You're only going to be eating it tonight. But that which defines the matzah is the interrelationship across space time of B'chol Moshavot and for the Shivas Yomim. Therefore, Tainas, you understand the sophistication of these ideas. Therefore, Tainas, Rabbi Yosef, since if you made these matzahs for your korban, it's not going to be kosher because it'll be nosar after the next day. So then it's not matzah you could have eaten for 7 days. Well, what do I care? I have to finish it anyway with my korban. That's not how we define matzah. In the same way you would say, well, what do I care? I'm in Yerushalayim anyway, so it's okay for me to eat. No. It has to be kosher b'chol moshavot. Same idea comes from here. Shivatz yomi matzot tochelu means not that you're mechuyev to eat matzah for 7 days, but that the matzah that you eat for the one night has to be the matzah that would be eaten over the course of 7 days, and this matzah can't last for 7 days. Therefore, yatzta zo, it's only matzah nechelet l'shivat yamim. Yatzta, it's absolutely beautiful. Wow. Yatzta zo she'ina nechelet l'shivat yamim ela l'yom v'layla. You can only eat this matzah for a maximum of a day and a night. So how is this kosher matzah? Tanya Gabosi de Rabba and Tanya Gabosi de Rabbi Yosef. The Maitse, there's a Braita that brings out both of these Makoros. Let's take Rabba, who learns it out of the din of L'shei Matzeh's Mitzvah. So here the Braita says, Yocho Yetze Yedei Chovato B'chalotu Darikike Nazir. So you might think that would be kosher matzah if you had made it for the Chalos Teda. Talmud Lomar Ushmartem Et HaMatzot. Only matzah mishtameret l'shem matzah, yatztazor she'in mishtameret l'shem matzah, ela l'shem zevach. This was Rabba's approach. But we also have a bright tatani gavazidir of Yosef. Yoch o yetzi adam yedei chovato b'chalot toda rikike nazir, Talmud lomar shiv'at yami matzot tochelu, matzah ne'achelet l'shiv'ah, yatztazor she'in ne'achelet l'shiv'ah, ela l'yom v'layla. So obviously, there's makaras for both of the levels of relationship here. Ask the Gemara, well, how come we're ignoring the other problem? There was another problem about lechem oni that we had mentioned before in the machlokas of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva. If we read the matzah to be lechem oni, so then you couldn't even use the maaser sheni because maaser sheni can't be eaten as oni. But there's a kal v'chomer that if Maaser Sheni, which is the lowest level of Kedusha in the structure of Kedusha of Maaser Sheni, Chala, Kachin Kalim, Kachin Kachim, Pora, and so on and so forth. So even over there, on the lowest level of Maaser Sheni, you're not allowed to eat it ba'aninos, right? So kol shekein, you would not be allowed to eat any kachim that are on a higher madriga than that. You would not be allowed to eat ba'aninos. So if that were the problem, couldn't we just say that that's why lach meteida are not kosher for matzah? Because matzah is lechem oni, and kachim cannot be lechem oni. So then you made it in a way that was contradictory to lechem oni. So use that as the mocker. V'tepikle mi lechem oni, mi sh'ne'achal ba'aninut, yotza zo, which was made for kachim, which is not ne'achal ba'aninut, it has to be eaten in a matzav of simcha. So what do I need? I don't need Rabba or Rav Yosef. No, that's simple. Because, I mean, the whole discussion today from the beginning has been the question of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, who darshans lechem, he doesn't darshan lechem oni, he darshans as lechem oni. And therefore, according to him, it's a question of the structure of the matzah. That is to say, you can't make it enriched and you can't put in all kinds of tasty things in it, but it's not a problem of how it is that you eat it. It's an actual problem of what it is that you're eating. Ah, okay. That gives me an idea. Because even according to Rabbi Akiva, who says it means what it is, I forgot about that. Matzah for lach meteida is not kosher because it's not lechem ani. It's not. No, you have to put in oil in menachas, right? You can't make your matzah for Pesach with oil. You got to make your matzah for Pesach with just water and flour. So isn't that the most obvious problem? I mean, all along we've been talking about matzah ashira not being kosher, and now like we totally forgot the fact. So then typically definitely matzah ashira. What do we need anything for? We don't need the idea of Rabbah. We don't need the idea of Rabbi Yosef. We don't need the idea even of the question of whether it's Nechal Baninas. It's simply Matzah Ashira. Omar Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak, it's not considered to be Matzah Ashira because it has so little oil that that amount of oil would not make the bread be a Matzah Ashira. The total among all of these matzahs, we've got these 40 different lechem and matzah. So you've got one revias, and that one revias is going to be split up. And remember, one of them was chometz, so Bechol we're not talking about then. So we've got these different types, three different types, 10 apiece, and they're going to be made in different ways, right? You know, whether it's rekikin or whether it's going to be boiled in water first and so on. And all of that is basically going to be split into like, whoa, you're talking about Eser Esronim over here because each one is an Isoran. I mean, that's like crazy. That's basically 100 cups of flour for one cup of oil. I mean, it's just not significant, right? You're going to only use a quarter of a lug for all of it. So then, I mean, that's nothing. And a quarter of a lug, remember, is not really a cup. I mean, you're talking about over here, 5 ounces? You're going to put into like 100 cups, 5 ounces of oil? You consider that to be matzah shira? That's not matzah shira. Omar Shmuel bar of Yitzchak, revisi mitchalekati lekama chalot. Ask the Gemara, but what about the other problem? Wait a second over here. We've been banging our heads against the wall about Meiser Sheni, does it have a heter moshavot? And what would be if it was also challah, and then you wouldn't be able to be paided? What are we, crazy? Did you forget that if you're talking about something which is kodesh, that you're not allowed to eat it outside of Yerushalayim? So where's the heter moshavot? I thought everybody agreed that you need b'chol moshavotechem t'chlu matzot. You certainly don't have a b'chol moshavotechem t'chlu matzot when it comes to things that can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. How did we miss that one? Says Rish Lakish, we didn't miss it. Again, we're talking about theory over here, okay? So now, the Torah is describing what kind of things would be kosher for matzah. You're talking about a logistical problem. Remember, Yerushalayim is really just one version of where you can make your carbon taita. From here, you see that you would have been allowed to have your chalot todah or your rikikei nazir in Nov and Givon. Now, Nov and Givon were periods in which there was no din of the mechitzos of Yerushalayim, obviously. That was the period where the bamais were mutarais. And therefore, the Torah is addressing an overall halacha, what type of things can be used for your matzah on Pesach? Here I am in the middle of some small town during the time of Nov and Givon. You're trying to tell me I have a problem of utilizing my matzah that I brought as with my carbon taita. What's the problem? You're telling me, well, one year there's going to be a Yerushalayim and then you won't be able to. Oh, okay, fine. No. That makes the Moshavot problem of Yerushalayim a coincidence, but not fundamental. Tanya, Omer Rabbi Eloi, I asked Rabbi Eliezer, Ma'u she'etze adam b'chalot todaru kikei nazir? And he said to me, I don't know. It wasn't a kabbal, what the halacha was. So, okay, so I came and I asked Rabbi Yoshua the same question. So he said to me, what the Mishnah says. He says, you know, what's going to be part of the Mishnah is Harei Amru Chalot Todah Rekikei Nazir, which you made for yourself, you can't be Yotzei with. Now, finally, we get to the last piece, which never made any sense. But if you made them Limkor Bashuk, then you would be Yotzei. So I came back, and says Rabbi Loi, I came back, and I said to Rabbi Eliezer what Rabbi Yoshua had said to me. And he went wild, and he said, oh, wow, baby, berit. That was the sense of, that's incredible. That's like a lotion of a shvua. It's a swear word, but a kosher swear word, right? Berit. That's amazing. Wow. That must be exactly what was said to Moshe Rabbeinu. But the other version is, it was actually a swear word. No, it was actually a rather word of exclamation of, that's crazy. Oh, for it. Okay, so what? I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? What are you coming up with? A new halacha of Moshe Sinai that nobody ever heard of? That somehow or other there's this deep difference between making something for yourself or making something for the marketplace. I mean, you don't think you have to tell me a reason? And low time, my boy? You can't just go around spouting things. Well, this is what the rabbi said. What is the rabbi said? What's the meaning of it? Time am I. I want to know the meaning. I don't want you to, I'm not going to rely on you telling me something makes no sense. Now, my rabbi, I'll tell you, makes a great deal of sense. Because kol lashuk imluche mimlach, anybody who makes something to sell always has a secondary purpose in mind because he's never sure that he can sell. So if he's got any brains, he's not putting all his eggs in one basket. So because of that, he's not putting all his matzahs in one basket either. And he's thinking to himself, if I can't get my price on this for people who need it for their carbon teda or for the naziris, I got no problem. I'm just going to put it away for matzah for Pesach. That'll save me a lot of money too. So Mamela, he always makes it with a condition in his mind because he's thinking to himself, mizdaben, mizdaben. If I can do a good job and sell it, fine. But if it's not mizdaben, so I'll use it for my own matzahs. That's why it's worth it for him to go into this business. It's definitely a limited market to share, you know, people who need to buy stuff, bedavka for their carbon teda and their el nazir. So he always wants to have a backup position. This is fascinating because it's not so pushit that backup positions are okay in terms of the dinim of lishma. That's the problem. So would this work out whatever the issue is, even the question of lishma, or does it only work out with the issue of matzah that is roi l'shiva? Because I mean, I'll give you a nice example of where one of these problems comes up. The ritzuas of your tefillin. So many people are makbid to buy ritzuas of tefillin that were made without condition on the lishma shel tefillin. The problem is that when you process the leather, it has to be done lishma in order to be kosher for tefillin. So what if it, as often happens, if the leather does not come out to be strong or pretty and nobody's going to want to use it for their tefillin? So then the guy who processed it is stuck with hundreds of dollars worth of unusable leather because he can't sell it for non-tefillin use. Because it's already made it the shmarshal tefillin, and nobody wants to buy it for the tefillin. So what they used to do before people discovered frumkeit was they would actually make a condition. Okay, so if it turns out to be roy for the tefillin, so then I'm making this the shmarshal tefillin. But if not, so then I want it just to remain regular leather. Then when the discovery came of the chumrah that no, you can't make a tenai about lishma, because that is considered not to be lishma if it's a tenai in lishma. So because of that, everybody got rid of their old ritzuas and went out to buy new ritzuas that were certified as non-conditional kedushas tefillin ritzuas. So then the question that the Gemara is saying over here, that, well, I'll keep in mind that I could use it for my matzahs mitzvah, if lamaisa, the lishma, would have been required, according to the first lashon, which was rabba, the Shamarta Matzot, would the buyer of those matzahs for his korban, would he be yotze? Or did the guy make a tenai that would have meant that these matzahs were made not l'shem zevach? And possibly even vice versa would be a problem. Anyway, it's an interesting question. Another thing to throw into that big sugya about tenaim in lishma.